Well, good morning, everyone. Today we begin a new series for the month of July and August, looking at characters, I think, just in the Old Testament. Is that right? Characters in the Old Testament. And I'm starting that series by looking at this guy called Caleb that we read about there in Joshua chapter 14. The idea is to look at these characters and see what we can learn from them and, of course, be encouraged through them into our own lives. However, I want to begin by saying this. Noah was a great man of faith. And I say that, of course, because when warned about things not yet seen, like God's anger and God's wrath, poured out in judgment, in flooding the world, Noah trusted, and of course he obeyed God and built an ark to save his family. People laughed at him. People joked at him. People thought Noah was some kind of a nutcase. But Noah's faith was not in what was seen, but rather in his God who was, is, and always will be supreme. Overall, in control of all things. In fact, J.C. Ryle said this about Noah. How was it that Noah persevered in building the ark? He stood alone amidst a world of sinners and unbelievers. He had to endure scorn and ridicule and mockery. What was it that nerved his arm and made him patiently work on and face it all? The answer, it was faith. He believed in a wrath to come. He believed that there was no safety excepting in the ark that he was preparing. Believing, he held the world's opinion very cheap. He counted the cost by faith and had no doubt that to build the ark was gain. Noah was a man of great faith. Sticking with the Bible characters, Abraham was a man of great faith. I say that because when called to go to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. So if you were to have a conversation with Abraham, you would say to him, Abraham, where are you going? And he would reply, yeah, I don't know. What do you mean? You mean you're packing up and you're heading out and you don't know where you're going? Abraham would reply, yeah. Well, Abraham, why? Well, because God has told me to do that. And I believe him. And I trust him. Moses was a great man of faith too, wasn't he? We could look at a number of different Bible references to see this, but do you remember when he and the children of Israel were standing at the edge of the Red Sea? God had wonderfully delivered them out of Egypt. He had amazingly rescued them from their bondage and slavery out of Egypt. But here the sea stretches out before them. The hills and the mountains are on either side of them, and the Egyptian army are hot in pursuit. The people, they panic. But Moses says, do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. And then I was going to list a number of other people, not so much Bible characters, but other characters that we read about down through the history of the church. And rather than pick out a few, I've picked out one. But it's one guy that I think I read his biography. It was the first Christian biography that I read as a young Christian. And it's never, the story has never left me. Always been an encouragement to me. I've read the biography over and over again. It was of the man George Mueller. He was a man of great faith. The man who opened many orphanages and looked after and cared for thousands of children. George Mueller trusted in his God to meet his every need. He never appealed for anything. He never asked for anything. He didn't go to local authorities. He didn't stand up in front of churches. His faith was in the God who had saved him, kept him, and called him into this work. And his faith was expressed mostly and most clearly in his prayers as he prayed for every provision. It's an amazing story. If you've never read it, I recommend it to you over the summer. And his faith, though tested and stretched at times, was rewarded as God heard and answered his prayers and met his every need every time. And we could go on, couldn't we? Referring, you could go to Hebrews chapter 11, and we could talk about all of those characters, naming them one by one, those great men and women of faith, and those down through the church age who were characterized in this way. But Caleb was such a man. We first read of him in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. And then we read of him again here in Joshua chapter 14, with maybe a little bit in between. And what is striking is this, that although 45 years have passed, 45 years, his faith has not waned. His faith has not lessened. His faith has not diminished, but if anything, his faith has grown. It has become strong. All the time it's been growing and maturing in his God. And I have two questions for us just at the beginning of this message this morning, and I think I come back to them again at the end. And the first one is this: how long have you been a Christian? Maybe you're a new Christian. Maybe you've just been saved a short time. But maybe you've been saved, been a Christian, I don't know, maybe 10 years, 20 years. Maybe some of you have been saved a lot longer than that, maybe 40 years, maybe 50 years or even longer. And the second question is this: has your faith in God in that time, has it lessened or has it grown? Has it mellowed or has it matured? Has it become stagnant or has it become stronger? Because, you know, one of the saddest things in the church is this, and Chris actually hinted and talked about this last week. He was talking about the devotion of faith, and we'll get to that. But it's to see people who were once active and vibrant and totally given over to God, men and women, young and old. But as they have aged, as they have grown older, and maybe so-called wiser, that vibrant act of faith has diminished. Of course, many people try to cover that up by saying things like, well, I'm older now and I can't do the things that I once did. I have other commitments now, other responsibilities. You know, times have changed and so on. And maybe some of that is true. Maybe some of that is legitimate. In fact, I'm sure that it is. But sadly, for many, because of one thing or another, over the years, they don't have the faith they once had. I've seen it. I'm sure you have, over and over again. So it's a little bit like going to the doctors for a health checkup. If we were to have a faith checkup today, I wonder what the results would reveal. So let's look at this man, Caleb, this morning, and his faith, and see what we can learn. Notice first of all this morning, please, the devotion of Caleb's faith. If you've got your Bibles open at Joshua chapter 14 still, look at verse 7 and 8. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people sink. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. See, Caleb here remembers, doesn't he, that the episodes of Numbers chapter 13 and 14, when Moses sent the 12 spies from Kadesh Barnea into the land of Canaan. He told them, go scout the land, go look over the land. and bring back a report. And of course, the majority report at that time made the hearts of the people sink as they reported how that Canaan's cities were large and fortified, and their military, well, they were such big bruisers. You will remember that Joshua and this man Caleb, they brought back a different report, and one that went against the flow. Caleb says here, "But I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God." A phrase that is noted three times in this passage. And church this morning, this is the devotion of faith. And it meant that Caleb, along with Joshua, had the courage to stand alone and give a minority report, even though it nearly cost him his life. We can possess the land. That's what he said. God is with us. He will give us the victory. Don't be afraid. That was Caleb's report. And of course, when we think about this for a moment or two, we realize, don't we, that the devotion of our faith, living in today's world, requires courage, a willingness at times to stand alone and to go against the flow, such is often the case. Think, for example, of the young teenager at school or at college or at university, you know, making a stand for the Lord. In conversation or classes, when they're talking about abortion or euthanasia or transgender issues, or maybe other conversation classes talking about evolution, there will be times when young men and young women need to stand up and say, no, that's not right. That's not fact. And they need to speak about what the Bible teaches. And of course, that takes courage, doesn't it? Tremendous courage in today's world. And will often result in being thought of as that, well, you put the word in there, that wacko, that weirdo, that someone that you just don't want to hang around with, or at least you want to keep that person at an arm's length or at a distance. Think of the Christian businessman or woman working in partnership with other businessmen and how they want to sign and, seal shady deals. They want to take this out and they want to add this in so that they can get more money. It's just, it's on paper, so it's kind of legit, you know? Or they want to go away for these company weekends and they want to line up the ladies and they want to have fun and party and all those things. Listen, he or she, it's going to take tremendous courage to stand up against that and say, no, that's not my lifestyle. That's not how I live. That's not what I believe in. But such is the devotion of faith. Think of someone getting or becoming a Christian in a home where nobody else is a Christian. I remember many, many years ago meeting a young man. He became one of my best friends. He became a home in a household where the father was involved in the paramilitaries in Northern Ireland. It was a very hard and tough home. And God reached down into that home and changed him amazingly, wonderfully. Having to say no to things and to places and practices that before was just normal. And whoever that is, whether it's one of the children or one of the parents, takes tremendous courage at times to stand up and to stand out and to say no to such things. But again, such is the devotion of faith. Church leaders know something of this too, don't they? People sometimes will say to our church leaders, "So you won't marry this couple because one is a believer and the other is not? Or you won't dedicate my child, but maybe you'll dedicate their child over there? Why are you doing that?" Or because they not only have the authority, but they have the willingness to place someone under church discipline or excommunicate someone from membership because of things said, because of things done, because of lifestyle. I tell you, there can be times when our church leaders need the courage to address real life scenarios and issues within the church context. And those decisions may make them feel at times very, very lonely and unpopular people. Such at times is the devotion of faith. We need to be prepared. And I say that because the devotion of faith frequently means having the courage to stand alone. Can I remind you this morning, and leave this with you, when the Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16 and 17, he lamented by saying this. He said, "Everyone has deserted me, Timothy. Everybody has left me." And then he said this. He said, "But the Lord stood by my side and gave me strength." Isn't that wonderful? Young person this morning in that class, in that school, in that college, that university, Christian businessman or woman this morning, in that business dealer, that business world, Christian in that home, and leaders in our church, when we feel alone, remember that we are never alone, because the God who has saved us has said, "I will never, ever, ever leave you nor forsake you." He is that friend who sticks closer than a brother. Not only do I want you to note this morning the devotion of Caleb's faith, I want you to notice, secondly, the anchor of Caleb's faith here. You see, throughout this passage, Caleb refers to the anchor of his faith. So when Caleb approaches Joshua, he bases his request on what the Lord said to Moses about him. And of course, he keeps coming back to this again and again. So again, if you look at verse 10, he says this, "Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert." And then if you look at verse 12, he says, "Now give me this whole country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." Four or five times in these verses, Caleb hammers this point home. His request is for nothing but what God has promised him, but what God has said. And Christian, this morning, true faith always functions in that way. It pleads the promises of God and it anchors itself in and upon the Word of God. There can be no other foundation for faith. See, that's Caleb's faith, and that's biblical faith. It's acting, it's living, it's behaving, it's, you know, upon the Word of God, standing upon the Word of God. And of course, this is where we get all confused. I think this is where so many people, and I've seen this, you know, throughout the years, you know, mess up, because at times we base our faith on how we feel. If we feel good, then our faith is good. And if we don't feel so good, then our faith isn't doing so good either. You know, I remember seeing a poster many, many years ago. You know the way there's some things that always stick with you? George Mueller, that biography was one of them. This is a poster that I seen many years ago, again as a young Christian. It was in a youth hall where we had our youth club, and I've never forgot it. I don't really know how to describe the picture, except to say to you it was of spectacular, majestic, mountainous regions. It was just mountain after mountain after mountain. It was just awe-inspiring picture, photo of these mountains. And there was a text right along the bottom of this poster, and it said this: "My faith is not built on my feelings, but on the unshakable character of God." And that's so true, isn't it? We need to have our faith anchored in God and in his word and what he has promised and what he has said if we are to have great faith. Listen, the object of faith by definition is God. And if our faith is in him alone, like Caleb's faith was, then we have this biblical faith. If we are Caleb's disciples this morning, then we will take the promises of God and we'll turn them into prayers and we will plead them back to God. So for example, you know, Lord, in your word, you have said that while standing up for you and while engaged in this great commission, that you will always be with me. You will never leave me to the very ends of the age. Lord, I need that sense of your presence right now. In this school that I'm at, in this university, in this office, in this factory, in this shop, in this hospital, in this home, wherever. Lord, I'm the only one there who knows and loves you. And I need the outworking of that promise now. Lord, you know in your word where you promised to meet every need. You've said, I will supply your every need, whatever the need may be. Well, Lord, I have a need. And I'm looking to you. I'm pleading for your grace and provision to meet that need. Lord, I believe you're going to do what you've said you will do. Lord, you know in your word where you've said, them that honor me, I will honor. Well, Lord, I've been honoring you in my relationships with others, and I need you to honor me now in this current relationship that I find myself in. You see, it's acting upon God's word. It's believing it to be true. It's trusting God to do what he said he will do. And it's praying and pleading them back to God and living in the light of his word. And it goes back to everything that Chris was talking about last week. Remember, he was talking about how important Sundays are? But if you want to grow as a Christian, how small groups and studying God's word together, we need that as well. And of course, it's more than that, isn't it? It's reading God's word regularly. It's studying it in your own time as well. Christian, this morning, based on what we have said so far, can I throw out these questions? Do we have this devotion of faith? Do we have a devoted faith like Caleb? And is our faith anchored in God and in all that he has said? Notice thirdly this morning, will you, the perspective of Caleb's faith. If you look again at verse 10, Caleb writes here, now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Biblical faith is devoted faith. It is a faith that is anchored in God and all that he has said. But biblical faith, I think, is also remembering. This is the perspective of God, of Caleb's faith. Remembering what God has done and remembering that with gratitude. I think that's what Caleb has done here. You see, God had kept him alive the past 45 years. Caleb could identify with the psalmist in Psalm 33 in verse 18 and 19 when he said, "But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those who hope in his unfailing love to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine." And of course, when you think about that, this was no small thing, since the last 40 years had been and seen only war and wilderness. So God had kept him, but according to his own testimony here, God was still blessing him with strength and stamina, old as he was. And you see, I think this is the way faith looks at things. Faith is always looking into the past. It's seeing God's goodness there. It's dragging that into the present. It's praising God for it. And then it's going on in the light of it from strength to strength. I mean, That's why I think we so often come across the words to the effect of, you know, the God who brought you up out of Egypt and across the Red Sea and into the land he has promised. We read that over and over and over again. It was to get the people to look back and remember, to see God's goodness there, to drag it forward, and then in renewed faith and courage to press on. Of course, don't get me wrong, there are things that we need to forget. Excuse me, Paul talks about that, doesn't he? In Philippians, I think it is, where he tells us to forget things that are behind, things that pull us down, things that entangle us, things that sometimes cripple and paralyze us and hold us back. Paul, you've got to forget those things. But there are other things that we need to remember. Of course, we can look back, can't we? On events in the Bible, to certain times in church history, and of course into our own lives and experiences, remembering God's help and his faithfulness and his provision, remembering his working of all things together for our good, remembering the answering, you know, our many, many prayers, recalling his many blessings and his ultimate goodness to us. We can thank God for it, allow it to encourage our hearts and inspire us to keep on going from strength to strength. Church, as we look back on our lives and think and contemplate all that God has done for us, all that he has given to us, then surely that puts perspective on our faith, just like it did for Caleb. And so going back to the question at the beginning, when I asked, has your faith lessened over the years or grown? Has it become stagnant or is it stronger? Maybe an honest answer to that question will shed light on the perspective of our faith. Notice fourthly then, the energy of Caleb's faith. I'm starting to bring it all to a close now. The energy of Caleb's faith. Look at verse 12 again in verse 14. Now he says, give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Amalekites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. And then in verse 13 it says, So Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. Thank you. See, the question I think has to be asked, what was it that drove this man? What was the driving force behind the senior citizen of Israel? He hadn't lost any heart. He hadn't lost any of his passion, his zeal, his fervor. He was determined now at 85 as he was when he was 40. And he just wanted to get going and keep on going. Reminds me a little bit of of Jim, what's his name from the Metropolitan Tabernacle in Ulster in Belfast, Jim McConnell. Jim McConnell used to say, "I'm going to die in my boots. I'm going to die with my boots on." Sorry, that's what he used to say. "I'm going to die with my boots on." He wasn't going to stop. He's still preaching. He's well into his 70s. Give me this hill country. Give me this mountain. Yes, yes, where these giants live in their fortified cities. Give it to me that I may go in and possess it. What drove him? What was the driving force? His confidence was not in himself, but rather in his God, who had promised him this part of the land as his inheritance. Can I say this? Caleb was one of the old stock. It's true, isn't it? He would have remembered the Exodus. He would have remembered the miraculous rescue that God had given to the children of Israel from Egypt. Sorry. He would have remembered the opening of the Red Sea the drowning of the Egyptians, he would have remembered Israel's failings and unbelief and subsequently their wilderness wanderings, but he would have remembered also, you know, God's provision and his protection all throughout that time. He had been there under Moses and under Joshua. He had entered the land of Canaan and conquered the land of Canaan. And now, as he came to possess his own part of the land and overthrow and destroy the Anakim, he could confidently say this. He said, with the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. You see, he was claiming the promises of God. He was walking in the light of God's word. He was fully dependent upon God. And brothers and sisters, if we want to be walking in God's will and inheriting all that God has for us now and living healthy and victorious Christian spiritual lives, then we need to be more like Caleb. You know, being driven, being motivated, being inspired and confident, not in ourselves, but in God's promises, in God's word, and in God himself. So you will notice, fifthly and finally, that's why Caleb is a model of faith. He's a model of faith because of his devotion of faith. He's not afraid to go against the flow. He's not afraid to be different, to be distinctive, to stand up and out of the crowd. He is devoted to God and to his word and for his glory. Caleb is a model of faith because his faith is anchored in God and in him alone. It's anchored in who God is, in what God has said, and in all that God has promised. Caleb could sing of a truth. I don't know if you heard the musicians playing and singing this before the service. We're going to sing it as a closing hymn. But Caleb could sing of a truth. We have an anchor that keeps the soul. This is an old hymn. Some of you will remember it. Some of you may not know it. But what a hymn. Steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock. The rock is God and all that he has said and all that he has promised. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Caleb was a model of faith because of his perspective of faith. Looking back on the greatness and goodness of God, bringing that into the present, hence encouraging, challenging, stirring, inspiring him for the future and for all that lay ahead. And finally, Caleb was a model of faith because of his energy of faith. The energy, the zeal, and the vigor was in God. And what God had done in the past and all that God had promised and then the fact that he would give him the victory. Now, when you put all of that together, here's what it says. It says, our devotion of faith is in God. Our faith is anchored in God. The perspective of our faith is on God. And the energy of our faith comes from God. How many times have you heard Chris or Ryan or Jeff say to us over these past 2 years, it's all about God. It's all about Jesus. It's true, isn't it? And so, church, this morning, it's all about him from beginning to end. And so rest assured today that if your faith is in him, then you have biblical faith. And the potential of great faith in a great God who can do great things. Let's pray. Our loving Father, we thank you and we praise you so much for this man, Caleb. We thank you that he is such an inspiration to us today. Whether we are young people, whether we are middle-aged people, whether we are older people, he is such an inspiration. From he was a young lad through to being a middle-aged man, through to being a senior citizen of Israel, he could say, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord. And I pray that we too can say that this morning. Maybe for some of us this morning, maybe there was a time when we wholeheartedly followed the Lord. And maybe today, Lord, maybe we're not there anymore. If that's the case, Lord, I pray that your word would speak into our hearts so that each of us leaving this place today will be determined to be the men and women of faith that you want us to be. Father, hear us as we pray. We pray now that the words of the preacher would fall silent, but we pray that the words of God would continue to be spoken into every heart and life here today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.